Take our Bibles a few minutes this morning and go to the book of 2 Kings this morning, and I ask you to continue to pray. God has been working in the church, and we thank the Lord for last week. Brother Moore did a great job preaching, and we had a good homecoming day. But I thank the Lord for the soul that was saved a couple weeks ago, and no telling what God may do. Been asking the Lord to really move in these next few weeks and to work and to speak to hearts and save sinners, and I'm praying for God to send a revival to our church, and we're always in need of revival, isn't that right? And we don't have to get in bad shape to have revival. We just don't want to get complacent. We want God to continue to do something in our hearts, and I pray that the Lord would do that this morning. If you're able to stand, 2 Kings chapter 21 this morning. Notice with me in verse number 19, 2 Kings chapter 21 and verse number 19. The Bible said Amon was 20 and 2 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Meshulamith, the daughter of Haruz of Jotbath. And he did that which is evil in the sight of his father Manasseh. And he walked in all the ways that his father walked in, and served the idols that his father served, and worshiped them. And he forsook the Lord God of his fathers, and walked not in the way of the Lord. And the servants of Ammon conspired against him, and slew the king in his own house. And the prophet of the land slew all them that had conspired against King Ammon. And the people of the land made Josiah his son king in his stead. And the rest of the acts of Ammon, which he did, are they not written in the books of the chronicles of the kings of Judah? And he was buried in his sepulcher in the garden of Uzzah, and Josiah, his son, reigned in his stead. Father, Lord, I ask you this morning, if you would, to help us these next few minutes. I pray that you would speak to hearts. Lord, I ask you to deal with everyone that stands in need this morning. Maybe there's somebody here that's lost. I pray, God, that you would help them this morning. I pray, Lord, if there's somebody here that's backslid, someone that, Lord, has wandered away from you, I pray, God, that you would deal with their heart this morning. God, that you would get the glory and get the honor, Lord, that is due to your name. I ask you, Father, to give us wisdom beyond ourselves. And, Lord, help us this morning to say only what you would have us to say for the glory of God. And we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. I want to draw your attention here in just a moment to verse number 21, but I want you to notice this man here by the name of Ammon. And when we think about Ammon this morning, he was the 15th ruler of Judah. And when we consider him and we consider his life, he was one that the Bible says he walked not in the ways of the Lord. Now his father Manasseh was before him, and Manasseh, we know, was an evil man. In fact, he was both a blasphemer and a butcher. If you look at it, he offered one of his sons in the fire, and he caused Israel to go into deep idolatry and to anger the Lord. Manasseh was so wicked that he not only instituted that idolatry, but he brought it into the temple of God and performed perverted worship inside the holy temple of God. And so God, it angered him to the point. And Manasseh, when he passes off the scene, then here comes Ammon. And Ammon follows in the ways of his father. Now what you have in this text this morning is a subject that I'd like to preach on a few minutes this morning. Is you have a man, you have a king here, a young man, 22 years of age, that steps on the scene as the king of Judah. He has so much promise, he has so much opportunity in life, but he dies as he lives. You say, what do you mean? Well, he only lives 2 more years, and at the age of 24, his life is snuffed out, and he dies without God. So he lives without God and he dies without God. And I want to preach a few minutes this morning on that subject, on living and dying without God. Amen. Living and dying without God. Now what a tragedy that is this morning. It's a tragedy that anybody would live
and die without God. There are those that you say this morning that, well, they never knew God. They never heard the gospel. And certainly we can understand that. But that is not the case here in this situation. This is not someone that did not know anything about the things of God. Now, his father was a wicked man and he brought idolatry into the land. We understand that. He was introduced to all that blasphemy and idolatry worship, but yet he still lived in the land that God had put his name. Amen. And we know that he could have made a different choice because his son Josiah makes a different choice. Amen. In other words, it was not that he grew up just completely blinded to the truth. You see, there's a lot of people that grow up even in good churches like this, and they're just like this young 22-year-old man. They've heard the truth. They've been around the truth. They've heard the blasphemy of the world. They've seen a little bit of the world, but they've also seen some truth. And you know what? They do the same thing that this man does. They live their life without God, and they die without God. Now, it'd be one thing to go to hell from Africa. It'd be another thing to go to hell from China. It'd be one thing to go to hell from behind the Iron Curtain. I believe the worst place anybody could ever die without God and go to hell from is from the front row, or any row for that matter, of a Baptist pew. Amen. I'm telling you, it's one thing to have heard the truth, to choose not to believe the truth and to reject it, and to live in a form of religion and die without God this morning. There's a lot of people done that, hadn't they? And when we come to this text this morning, I want you to notice in verse number 19, notice the start of Ammon here. Notice how this young man starts. The Bible talks about his age. He was 22 years old when he began to reign. He was anointed, amen. He was anointed to be the king, the Bible says, there in Jerusalem. It gives the area that he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. It talks about his associations. It mentions his mother's name here. It talks about her. It mentions his authority in verse number 19. Young people, young adults, listen to me. This man is 22 years old. He is literally king of his own domain. He can make his own decisions. He can choose his own things in life. There is nobody to tell him what to do. I'm telling you, a lot of times young people think, well, if I could just get out there and just be in charge of my life, and if I could just call my own shots and didn't have nobody telling me how to live and nobody telling me what to do, my life would be a whole lot better. Well, you need to pay close attention to our text this morning, because here's a 22-year-old man that thinks he's got life by the tail. He's got everything you could ever want in life. He's got all the power. He's got all the prestige. He's got all the possessions that money could ever buy. And can I tell you something? Life does not end well for this young man. Look at Hollywood this morning. Life don't end well for them. They live without God and they die without God. I think that if there's anything the Lord would try to get across to maybe some this morning in this building, is that you have been blessed probably more than you realize. He said, well, I've never been able to get out there and live like they live and sow my life. I don't know anything about the music of this world. I don't know anything about, I've seen some of the fashion of this world, but because of my parents, because of my preacher, because I just feel like I'm locked in. Boy, you ought to thank God you're locked in this morning. I tell you what you're locked in from. You're locked in from a world of heartache. You're locked in from a world of hell. You're locked in, my friend, from a world of perversion, being used and abused, and being stripped of every good thing. You're locked in from a world of emptiness, amen. What Ammon could not see is that everything that he needed was not in what he wanted, but was in what God wanted. But he is a young man. Let me tell you about this young man. You're not going to get through to him. His mind is made up. He is as stubborn as stuff. You know, stubbornness is associated with sinfulness in the Bible. And stubbornness in the Bible, listen to me, leads to destruction. Isn't that right? And I'm telling you here this morning, this man is stubborn. He has made his mind up. Nobody's going to tell him what to do. Nobody's going to run his life. Nobody. I want to tell you something. It doesn't matter how old you are in life. There's always somebody going to be running our life. Amen. And if we're right with God, amen, the Lord's going to run our life. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm not in charge of my life. I'm not in charge of this church. I'm telling you, it belongs to him this morning. Amen. That's not my pulpit. That's his. You're not my people. You belong to him. Isn't that right? We are the bride of Christ. We belong to him. It can't be my way or the highway, your way or the highway. That always ends at a dead end somewhere. But here's a young man. He starts out with so much, but it doesn't last very long. Boy, you could start out with everything. And in 24 months, he's in the grave. He goes from the throne to the grave. As high as a man can go, to as low as a man can get in 24 months. Boy, I'm telling you this morning, if the devil could get you out there, young person, he don't need 10 years to destroy your life. Can I tell you something? He don't need 10 months or 10 days. He can ruin your life in one night with one person, with one pill, with one needle. All he needs is just a little bit of your time. Amen. All he needs is for you to finally break free from your parents. Finally break free from that old-fashioned church. Finally get loose. I mean, just do the inventory this morning. And not just the young people, but you look at the young people, but you look at the young adults. Go through your mind this morning about the people. Look at the middle-aged adults this morning. Go through your mind and look at all the people that, listen, they had to go their way just like this man. They had to do their thing. How is their life going for them right now? It's not good, is it? Because the Bible said the way of a transgressor is what? It's hard. You know, I haven't always done right. You say, Brother Gravity, do you have regrets? Well, sure I do. If I could go back and make some changes in life, would I make some changes? Sure I would. I think everybody would. But I'll tell you something this morning. I have no regrets of living for God all of my life. Brother, I'm telling you, I was raised around alcohol, but thank God I never drank it. I mean, listen, I was raised, you remember them big old claw ashtrays? Anybody remember them? You could kill somebody with them. I mean, if you needed a weapon in the middle of the night, who needs a baseball bat if you got ashtrays? Amen. My wife wasn't raised in a Christian home. She thought they were candy dishes. I said, no, those little grooves in the middle wasn't to put candy on. It was a slide cigarettes in. Y'all still with me, aren't you? But I remember them claw ashtrays, you know. And I can remember walking through the house and they being full of ashes and full of cigarette butts. And walk there. But thank God I never smoked a cigarette. Amen. You say, are you bragging? No, I'm just telling you what the grace of God can do for you. I don't have any regrets about that this morning. I thank God I've never been out there in the perversion of this world. And I thank God for that this morning. And if you have, I'm glad the grace of God has brought you out. But I'd like to keep somebody from going in this morning. I'd like to keep somebody from being deceived that things are better out there than they are in here. I'm telling you, things wasn't better for this young man. And if you get away from God or you go out to the world and you do your own thing and live your own way, you're going to wind up like this man. I see the start of Ammon. I see the sin of Ammon. Look at verse number 20. What was his sin? The Bible says here in verse 20 that he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Notice the choice of his sin. He did that which was evil. Now, listen, he had a wicked father, but Josiah, his son, had a wicked father. Isn't that right? And so what Ammon does is he makes his own choice. Young person, young adult, look at me this morning. You cannot blame the choices that you make on your parents. Can I get an amen right there? I don't swallow that for one second. You say, oh, Brother Gravely, my parents, you don't know what they did. I'm going to tell you something. I love my parents this morning. I went and saw them yesterday. My dad's getting more feeble by the day. And I sit there on the couch and talk with them for a little while. And you know, I love my parents. I thank God for the things they taught me. I thank God that my parents taught me how to work. Don't you thank God for parents that worked every day and taught you how to work? I thank God that my dad knew how to use a belt. And my mother knew how to use a hickory. Y'all still with me? I don't care what DFACS thinks about that this morning. I thank God I had parents that loved me enough that when they said, when we step out on the porch and we call your name, amen, we better not call it a second time. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I mean, listen, I could be outside playing ball, riding a bike, eating mud in the ditch, whatever boys, you know, we did back then, tormenting some girl. But when I heard, there's a certain voice or two, when I heard my name called, that meant drop what you're doing and head home immediately. Can I get an amen right there? If they came looking for you, you're going to have a really bad day. But I said all that to say this, my parents didn't know God. We wasn't raised in a Christian home, and I'm not bragging on that. But what I'm saying to you is, there was things that I'm not proud of, and now that they're saved, they're not proud of. But when I got saved, every decision I made from the time that I got saved for God was not my, and every mistake that I made was not my parents' fault. They weren't even saved. But you think God's going to let me get by? You think God would let me go out and live like the devil at 17 and blame my lost parents for it? Not on your life. Because I heard the truth. I was exposed to the truth. I heard too much preaching by the time I was 17. And listen, I could have went out and sold some wild oats. I could have went out and drank some Bud Stupid and said, my dad drank beer all my life. And so, I drank a beer the other night and got drunk. You know why? Because my daddy drank beer. I'm going to tell you something. That's not going to hold anything before God. Amen? Because, listen, the Holy Spirit lived on the inside. I claimed salvation and I am saved, thank God. But I'm telling you, I had to make my own choices, and if I made bad choices, I couldn't blame my parents for it. You say, what are you saying, Brother Gravely? I'm saying I had lost parents, and God wasn't going to let me get by. You think God's going to let you get by being raised by saved parents? Oh no, they're not perfect this morning, but just like this man was accountable for the own choices that he made, I'll tell you, if you sin against God, God is not going to let you blame your parents. You will give an account for yourself. By yourself, amen. That's like when one person commits adultery and the other spouse goes out and thinks now they have a pass. You don't. Well, they cheated on me. Yeah, but you're going to give an account to God for cheating on them. You hear me this morning? I'm telling you, I feel like I'm plowing, but I'm going to keep plowing, okay? You pray for me this morning. I'll tell you, the devil don't like it, but I'm going to preach the hound out of him anyway this morning. I'm talking about the sin. We make our own choices in life. I've listened as a pastor. Why am I preaching this so hard? I'm going to tell you why. It's not just today, but I cannot tell you the times I have sat down in the office with parents and them sitting over there crying their eyes out, and you got some young person sitting here not even shedding a tear, and they're saying, instead of owning their sin, they're blaming their parents for what they've done. Now, I'm not preaching that because, if you're guilty this morning, you need to wear both shoes. Amen? But I'm telling you, I've seen it once, I've witnessed it 10 times or 15 times, and that lady right there can tell you it's true. And I tell you, it bothers me when I hear young people want to blame their parents, because I'm sitting there thinking, God wouldn't let me get by if my parents wasn't saved. What's this person think when they got godly parents that's carried them to Sunday school and carried them to church and prayed over them? No, they wasn't perfect. I tell you, you had it better than some of us had, and you need to wake up to the fact that God's going to hold you accountable, for to whom much is given, much is required this morning. Don't blame your sin on the youth group. Don't blame your sin on the pastor. You might be here this morning and say, well, I hope Brother Gravely's preaching this, and I hope so-and-so don't think it. I hope they do. You know, we've got to the place, a lot of our churches, people have forgotten the Holy Ghost to put things on a preacher's heart. And people pass it like, did somebody tell him? Yes, somebody told him. The Lord told him. growing up here and preaching, when I heard, I never thought when I heard preaching who told the preacher. I thought to my, well, I might have thought that a few times, but I thought most of the time when I knew that man prayed, I knew that man walked with God, and I knew when I heard that, that was God trying to get my attention. Amen. Hey, young person, hey, it may be a mom and dad this morning. You don't ever know in a good church like ours when somebody's thinking about going out and committing adultery. I'm going to tell you something. God will judge you 10 times over if you go out and do that. Can I get an amen right there? You think you're going to get by with that? You think you're going to pull one over on God? I'm telling you, it is not going to happen. No way, no how. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I'm telling you, I saw somebody not too long ago at a certain place that very thing, that man and woman committed adultery against their spouses, and they got married, and they thought it was going to be the greatest thing on earth. And Brother Lady, I bumped into them the other day. They were not only ashamed, but they were miserable. You know why? Because you can't sin and things come out okay. This man sinned. The choices we made, he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. The cause of his sin was as his father Manasseh did. Now, what's amazing about verse 20 is that Ammon is clearly responsible according to the first part of that verse. But he learned it from his daddy. And what I would say this morning is that when it comes to sin, we have to be careful as adults, because the choices that we make oftentimes comes home, those bad choices and the good. But the chickens come home to roost oftentimes in the lives of our children. I'm not saying this morning, because the text will prove this. Brother Gravity, you said if I sin, my children are going to automatically go down that road? No, because you've got Manasseh, you've got Ammon, and you've got Josiah. Josiah clearly went the opposite of his father. Young person, just because you may have some family that doesn't live for God, that doesn't mean you can't live for God. Josiah, the Bible says that he walked in the ways of the Lord in chapter 22 and verse 1. But it does teach us as parents that we can take our family down the wrong path. Amen? And it is just the grace of God if they choose not to go that way. But we should not say, well, I can live this way and I'm hurting nobody but myself. I'm going to tell you something. This young man learned his sin from his father. Amen? And so we have to be careful. The things that we let in our life, the things that we let in our home, the things that come in. You say, well, I didn't go too far with that. You may not have, but they may go a whole different level. Amen. I'm saying this morning, listen, I have seen people lose their children because they went against the Lord, or maybe they went against the church. They went against the man of God. I'm going to tell you, you'll reap it. As sure as I'm standing here this morning, there'll be forgiveness, there'll be grace, but you cannot get by. I'm telling you, God will let it come home to roost one of these days. It's not a popular message, but I will say this morning, it's a needed message for this hour, because we're living in a generation that does not fear God like they should. I'm saying this morning, we've got to be careful as adults the choices that we make in life. I know a family today that the children do not go to church, and I believe personally, not judging, I feel sorry for them. They're almost adults now. But they're very bitter. They're very bitter at one of their parents. And it all started because of a parent that made a choice to let them start missing church once a week. Now they miss church altogether. You know, we have to think about as parents, could we be the cause of leading them down the wrong road? Could sitting around the table and talking about everybody we know in a negative light, what kind of poison is that going into our children? My wife and I, we always had this rule in our house growing up with our children there, that no matter whatever happened at church, if anything ever happened at church, we did not discuss it at the dinner table. And we did not discuss it in front of our kids. I'm talking about when they were teenagers. We didn't discuss it with them. Because God's people are the best people. Is that right this morning? You want to ask me who the best people I know? I'm looking at them this morning. And we wanted our kids to know God's people are not perfect, but they are the best people that you know on planet Earth. I know no quicker way than to send your kids to hell than to sit around and talk about God's people. Because all the while as you walk off, they think about, you have burnt an image in their mind that they will never get away from. You know, a man told me something about a guy one time. I remember this. I was about 19 years old. And he told me something about a man, and I didn't know the man personally. I knew him, but I didn't know him personally. And it was at the very least, Brother Chris, it was 25 years later before I realized that what he told me about that guy, it wasn't true. What he said about that man, time revealed him to be. And how I knew it wasn't true about this man is this man doesn't know this to this day. But I watched, just not meaning to, but I watched him for 25 years. And in the back of my mind, what he told me, because I looked up to this man and I thought this was somewhat, I thought, well, he wouldn't say something that's not true. But he did. And over at least 25 years later, I found out that man, he's just doing the same thing he's always done. He's never changed. But I've watched this guy change. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying one thing he said to me. And I shouldn't have let it happen, Brother Tim. I was in the wrong for just even letting that, you know, be on my mind. But one statement he made because of my confidence in him kind of tainted this man a little bit to me. Now, I should have been more spiritual than that. But I couldn't get that thought out of my mind. If we struggle with that as adults, what do you think it does if we just tell our children? We say things in front of our children. I don't know why I'm hammering it, but I know it's God's will. I'm telling you this morning, this man learned what he did from his daddy. What do our children learn from us? The course of his sin. Look at verse 21. He walked in all the way that his father walked. I want to be like my daddy. He served the idols that his father served, and he worshiped them. You know, that's a negative in that verse, but I would say to us fathers, if that father could influence his son to worship a false god and a false idol and to walk in the ways, we could inspire and encourage our children to worship the true God. Isn't that right? In other words, no one has more influence on that boy than his daddy. I'm telling you, if you love God, they'll love God. If you hunger for God, can they stray? Sure. But I'm telling you, what you love is what they love this morning. How we live is how they're going to live this morning. It's important. Yet do they have their own will? Can they make their own choice? Absolutely. As the text goes, sometimes they do go astray. Sometimes they do go another way. But I'm not talking about the exceptions. I'm talking about the rule is, if we live for God, there's a better chance they'll live for God. If we love God, there's a better chance they'll love God. If we live for the world, the flesh, and the devil, there's a better chance that's how they're going to live, and there's a good chance that's how they're going to die. He died as he lived, didn't he? I see the character of his sin. The Bible highlights it in verse 21. It was idolatry. He served the idols that his father served. We're talking about wicked idols, perverted idols. We're talking about where they offered their own children in the fire. We talk about the clarity of that sin. Look at verse 22, talking about Ammon, and he forsook the Lord God of his father and walked not in the way of the Lord. That's one of the worst things that could ever be said about a man, is that they forsake God and walk not in their ways. I'm telling you this morning, if you don't want to forsake God, And if you don't want to walk in the different way, you live according to this Bible. Amen. You see, the world makes fun of us. Liberals make fun of us. Amen. Why? Because we've not changed. But neither has this book changed this morning. And if we'll live by this book, and if we'll walk in the ways of this book, God said you'll be blessed. Amen. But if you walk away from it, you say, but the crowd's not living that way. Who cares what the crowd's doing? Amen. The crowd's not going to follow the ways of God. But I tell you, if you'll be a David, if you'll be a Daniel, if you'll be a Ruth, if you'll be an Esther, if you'll make your mind that you're going to live for God and walk in the ways of God, you can be blessed this morning. See, you don't have to go that way. I don't know what Josiah saw at 8 years old. Maybe he saw what happened to his dad. Cut down in the flower of his youth. And Josiah said at 8 years of old, he began to reign. And the Bible said in verse 2 of 22, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the ways of David, his father, his forefathers. And he turned not aside to the right nor to the left. Here's a young man that said, I'm not going to do as my daddy did. I'm going to walk in the days of David, my father. He looked at David's life and he looked at his father's life and he said it turned out a whole lot better for David than it did Ammon. Hey, young person, young adult, look around. Look at people in this church, listen, that have lived, and look at people that have served God and look at their life and then look at the people that have went out there and done their own thing. Listen, they may have had their pleasures and their sin for a season. Some of them's in jail. Some of them's in hell. Some of them's in the an early grave. Some of them, listen, their life is just on a downward spiral right now. Things have not went so well. Why? Because it does not pay to live in sin. Doesn't pay this morning. Verse 23 proves that. Look at the servants of Ammon. And the servants of Ammon, notice this, they conspired against him. These servants were disloyal because disloyalty breeds disloyalty. Because Ammon was a conspirer, because he was a man of deception, because he was a wicked man, what happened was he surrounded himself. You know, you can see the direction that people are going by who their friends are. Is that right? And that's in church and out of church. People say, well, my boy just got with the wrong crowd. My daughter just got with the wrong crowd. But we must open our eyes and realize that, yes, while some may get pulled into a snare, they still made a choice, and perhaps we should not be so blinded as to not think that they are that crowd, that that was their crowd, that there's a reason why they didn't want to be around the church crowd. There's a reason why they didn't want to go, they didn't want to go the Wednesday night meetings or Saturday night youth meetings. There's a reason why they always was more happier out there than they were in here. You say why? Because that was their crowd. He surrounded himself by men. But in the end, those people that he surrounded himself with, they're the very people that took him down. Now hear me this morning. Hear me this morning. If I've seen it once, I've seen it 10 times, and I bet many of you have as well. You got a young person. You got a young adult. Hey, you got a mother or a father. And all of a sudden, they get a friend. And the friend that they get, if you have any spiritual sense at all, though we don't say nothing, and I don't know, Brother Laddie, that we should. But though we don't say anything, we already know that's not good for them. Have y'all seen that before? Oh, that's not good for them. I've seen it as a pastor. You take some long-tongued person, they start becoming a friend with a person over here that I know. In my mind, I'm thinking, that ain't good. I'm just telling you how it is this morning because I know that person. And I know that person. And that ain't good. You take some young person that's wanting to go the way of the world. They become a friend with them. I say, that ain't good. Am I telling the truth this morning? I know that ain't going to... If God don't do something, that ain't going to be a good friendship right there. I know that. Sometimes what happens is if you don't get away from that person, young people, if you don't get away from that person, and I don't mean mistreat them, and I don't mean, you know, don't shake their hand. I don't mean don't speak to them. You can be a friend to someone without being a friend with them. You always be kind to people. You always treat people right. I watched that and I said, that ain't good right there. Brother Doyle, I know where that's going to happen. I know where that's headed. You know how much it's right? It's right 100% of the time unless that person, God delivers them from them or that person gets right with God. What happens is the devil will always put somebody in all of our path. If he can't get me to go out there and hook up with somebody that's bad, he will send somebody in here for me to hook up with that will pull me down the wrong direction. And I know it's quiet this morning, but it probably needs to be because I need to think about it. You need to think about that this morning.
The Bible said evil communication corrupt good manners, don't they? That means a person can be on the right path, but if they surround themselves with the wrong people, they can get on the wrong path real quick. You got to be careful of the people you work around. Amen? You be a witness to them, but you be very careful that you don't build these strong relationships and bonds with people. So, well, they go to church. Now, it's not a church like ours. That's where you draw the line right there. Brother Gravity, you think y'all are the only ones, right? No, but we're about as close as you're going to get. Are y'all with me this morning? I mean, we're not going to be diplomatic. I might as well be dogmatic about it. Don't you think so? We're trying to preach from this King James Bible and live by this King. Hey, this is either right or it's wrong. It ain't half right, I can tell you that much. And I'm not a Baptist by choice. I'm one by conviction without apology. Can we get an amen right there? You say, what if you wasn't a Baptist? Well, I'd be ashamed and be wrong, but I tell you, I could still go to heaven, couldn't I? But we have to be dogmatic in how we believe and what happens is in this society we live in where everybody has an opinion, everybody has a platform. If you're not careful, the crowd will pull you in the wrong direction. The slaying of Ammon, it cost him. The crowd that you run with, if it's the wrong crowd, they'll pull you down. They'll destroy your life. They'll take your life. They slew the king. Notice in his own house, he wasn't safe. In his own house. You wouldn't think people could get away from God in this place, but they do. And I see the son of Ammon. Look at verse number 24. And the people of the land slew all them that conspired. Thank God for some people like Brother Poindexter. They conspired against the king. They slew all them that conspired against the king of Ammon. And the people of the land made Josiah his son king in his stead. Now, the rest of the acts of Ammon, which he did, are they not written in the books of the chronicles of the kings of Judah? The story of Ammon, verse 25, his story is that he died as he lived. He lived such a 24 years old, he went out into this world. Ammon is in hell this morning. Raised in an area, an environment where he should have known God. Because of a daddy and because of his own choices this morning, Ammon is in hell. You know, as a pastor, it's been so much on my heart here lately. So much lately. I don't want to see anybody in this church go to hell. I don't know anybody's heart, but I don't see anybody die without God. I don't want to stand before the Lord one day. And I know when I stand before God, I'm going to give an account of myself, my family, and my church. And I want to tell you this morning, I don't want a family member in my family to go to hell. I want them to be saved. I got some family that unless God works a miracle, they're not going to get saved. And I pray they get saved. I pray all them grandkids get saved. I want to see them all get saved. And I don't want the circle to be broken. But I tell you something else, Brother Mike. I don't stand before God and look at one person that I've pastored or that I am pastoring and say and see them go to hell. This morning, if you're not saved, I want you to get saved. If you're a visitor and you've never been saved, I want you to be saved today. This church wants you to be saved. Is that right?
Amen.
Everybody here wants you to go to heaven. Yes. Nobody wants you to go to hell. And I tell you this morning, the devil hates it, but I believe God's big enough this morning. If you're lost, if you'll come, God will save you today. I wouldn't cast doubt on anybody, wouldn't tell anybody they're saved, wouldn't tell anybody they're lost, but I believe if the Holy Ghost tells you this morning that you're not saved, and you know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, you know you're not saved, then you ought to come get saved this morning. You could be a visitor, you could be a member, but you ought to come this morning, you ought to get saved while you can. As we stand to our feet this morning, our heads are bowed, Christians are praying. You got to come clean with God.